south of the border, down Mexico way. That's where I fell in love when the stars above came out to play. And now as I wander.
Hello there, all you expat wannabes. I'm Johnny Mueller, and you're listening to The Expat Files, Living in Latin America, the show that tells you just what it's like to live, work, play, and or retire down here in Latin America. It's a mix of the good, the bad, the ugly, and the great, and it's all right here, so let's get started. So anyway, I'm doing a little construction job, always tinkering, you know? Ever since I was a kid, I'd walk through a store and see some furniture or cabinets or something, I'd say, hey, I can do that. And, you know, even if I couldn't, I'd try and give it my best shot. And, you know, some of my later stuff turned out pretty good. The early stuff, well, my mom liked it, you know. They always do, right? That said, over the years, I've accumulated a massive tool collection. And people say, how'd you get all that together? You're down in Latin America. Rummage sales and yard sales, my friends. Rummage sales and yard sales. Because, you know, down here in Latin America, when people have a one-off rummage sale, that means, you know, they don't have the same thing going every week like they do up in the States. When there's a one-off rummage sale here, man, you can get that stuff for like 10 or 20 cents on the dollar. And really good quality stuff, too. Especially when it's an old-timer having a yard sale. But, like I mentioned in a show a long, long time ago, don't expect to see a listing in the newspaper or on the internet saying rummage and yard sales. They just don't do that. Those things are spontaneous and just kind of pop up. No advertising. So when you're driving around, you have to keep your eyes open. And they won't have a sign on the front lawn either. They'll just be a front yard full of things for sale. Or an open garage door with a bunch of stuff stacked in there and spilling out on the driveway. Now remember, in Latin America, there's just no place to donate your used stuff. There's no St. Vincent de Paul or Salvation Army drop-off boxes. That means you can't call anyone to pick up your old sofa, ping pong table, or rock'em sock'em robots or pong game. That's why rummage sales and yard sales down here have such a tremendous variety of weird things. Often a few real gems mixed in with the plastic dog poop, if you know what I mean. So, not to leave you with that pleasant thought, back to the point. I'm off to the lumberyard, a Latin lumberyard, and they're nothing like lumberyards up in the States. No nice, orderly bins and piles of 2x4s and furring strips and 1x6s and planking. In fact, nothing really organized at all. You could say it's Latin chaos at its finest. You want to see entropy? Go to a Latin lumberyard. In fact, I've yet to see an American-style full-service lumberyard down here. No real Home Depot, not yet. Or even those local big lumberyards you're used to going to up in Cleveland or Chicago. In fact, there's a huge chain up north called Menards. Well, if you've been to one of those, you'll not find anything like it down here. Now, down here, it seems, they keep the hardware store business completely separate from the actual lumberyard business. And as you know in the States, they're combined into one big mega store like a Home Depot. So, at lumberyards down here, it's often a real chore to find what you're looking for because labeling is just so inconsistent. You could be looking at a stack of 100 planks of wood and not really know the measurements. But thankfully, you'll find here in Latin America there is always way too much help at any retail outlet. You will see a lot of people just standing around and others with their thumbs up their asses. And you'll think to yourself, I can't believe how much dead weight they have at this business. How can they make a buck? But somehow they do, and overstaffing is the Latin tradition. And you wonder why expat businesses do so well down here. Look at it like this. If you pay your help $200 to $300 a month, you could hire a lot of dead weight in your business and still make a profit. Anyway, so I'm at this big lumberyard in a very busy little town way out in the boonies, and it's absolutely huge. Picture 5 or 6 big old horse barns all connected together. Now, talk about a fire trap. First off, there's a half a foot of sawdust everywhere you walk. Then there's scraps and heaps of cut wood 5, 6, 7, even 10 feet high. So my object that day was to buy 5 8-foot-long, 1x2 clear pine boards. You got that? 1x2, that's 1 inch by 2 inch by 8 foot long clear pine, meaning 40 foot long in total. Nice and smooth, no divots or knots or chunks missing. And of course, I do what all guys do when they're in a hardware store or a lumberyard. We meander around and check everything out because we can get almost as excited just being there as a woman in a shoe store. I mean, come on, there's nothing like the smell of sawdust and 100 freshly cut boards, huh? And about the types of wood you'll find. Sure, you'll find a lot of pine, but it's not like the pine you see up in the States. This stuff is heavy. It's about 3 times the weight per volume as the pine you get up north. In fact, it's so heavy at first you'd think it might be waterlogged. Now, it might be, and if it is, it'll be about 6 times as heavy as a regular piece of pine up north. Now, it is real pine, but the pine down here is much heavier and denser because of 2 things. There's no freeze or snow or frost, so the trees never are dormant. They're always growing. And with more water and sun, the trees grow about twice as tall and wide as similar trees up north. So the cells are programmed to be more dense and strong to support that kind of weight. That said, just note, if you pick up a 2x4 down here, commonly known as a stud, sometimes they're actually impossible to pick up with one hand. By the way, there are no studs here in Latin America. Down here, nothing's a stud, not even pre-millennial Antonio Banderas, because the word stud by itself really doesn't translate well into Spanish. They've got guapo, which just means handsome. They've got mujeriego, which means woman chaser. And they've got travieso, which kind of means a tease. But stud, well, that's more of a tell-all gringo word, isn't it? So anyway, if you're in a Latin lumber yard and you pick up a regular Latin 2x4 pine stud, you'll say, "What the hell is this made out of?" You know in an instant if someone whacks you over the head with that thing, you're dead. Nope, it's not like in the movies and the 2x4 breaks. It's your head that's going to break. But where was I? Oh yeah, more than 3/4 of any Latin lumberyard is made up of all pine products, pine boards. Now, if you're a regular listener to this show, you'll know I said a long time ago you don't want to build or construct with pine down here in Latin America, even though it's much tougher, stronger, and more durable than your pine is up in the States. That's because insects love it. And it's true, you gotta really avoid pine in your house. Though there are some special cases where you can use it with no problem at all. For example, if you're doing something temporarily. If you're slapping up some temporary shelves in a garage, or you're making a pavilion for a demonstration at some kind of event, or you're constructing a sign or a picture frame, local pine will be your material of choice. And remember, if you're constructing a block, cement, and rebar house, which is your general anti-seismic style of construction down here, you'll need all different sizes of wooden forms on the site to pour concrete in the shape of towers and posts and stairs and door frames and such. So at every construction site, they'll deliver a lot of pine boards, and the contractors will use them to make forms. And in the end, when the house is done and the concrete's hard and cured, they'll haul that stuff away to another job site. Sometimes. Well, you see, since 40 to 60% of Latin American homes are not built to code, because, well, you know, no one's inspecting, and they're not built to seismic code either, naturally. By the way, those are the houses and subdivisions you see on the 6 o'clock news, crumbling and tumbling down after an earthquake, which contributes to the already bad impression most people up north have of Latin America, especially people with zero boots on the ground. Meaning, pine or any kind of wood is no good for construction in seismically active locations. That means that 40 to 60% of homes in Latin America, those would be the lower middle class and poor, are constantly in danger because they use pine a lot, simply because it's the cheapest thing around. Much, much cheaper than actually using block, steel, and concrete. However, when that tough Latin pine is used correctly, it really is super strong and will last forever if, one, you don't let it come in direct contact with water during the rainy season, and two, you don't have it anywhere near the ground, even if the ground is cement, because it'll act like a wick and suck up moisture and humidity, and in a few years will dry rot or be attacked by insects. So, if you've got pine anywhere near the ground at all, even if it's outdoors and not directly being exposed to the rain, insects will find it, and by then it'll be too late. Now, as far as pressure-treated wood, yes, they do sell that down here too, but, you know, that's more than toxic. And remember, the poor, the middle classes, and the lower middle classes don't much go in for outdoor jacuzzis and fancy decks, so they don't use the stuff. All they know is that it's a kind of a greenish color, and it costs twice as much as regular pine, so there's another reason not to buy it. Oh, and by the way, I'm bringing this stuff up because, like I said before, gringos and expats find out they have a lot of time on their hands, and often we get into our little hobbies that we never had time for up in the States, including making furniture, picture frames, shelves, knickknacks and wooden horses, and artsy-fartsy carvings. I even know an expat gringo down here who makes wooden puzzles and now sells them on Amazon. Yet another gringo who found a way to make money in his spare time instead of sitting in a hammock drinking a case of beer a day, which was pretty much his previous hobby. Yep, he's reformed and nowadays he's down to a 12-pack. So like I said, you can use this cheap, very durable, hard pine in locations like, for example, a shelf in your garage, as long as the walls it's attached to are block or concrete, as long as it's not exposed to the elements and well off the ground. But back to this big old lumberyard in the boonies. So yes, there was a huge collection of pine and a lot of lower middle class people there buying. Anyway, each one of these barns had a couple of gigantic 220-volt, three-phase saws, planers, and sanders. I mean, really big industrial stuff, because some of the logs coming in the back door were 2, 3, even 4 feet in diameter. Even so, with all these giant machines around, the workers had virtually no protection. No helmets, no gloves, no masks, most of them not even using eye protection. And not even one sign posted anywhere advising people to use safety gear. So naturally, I pulled out my camera and started taking photos. Now, they're not thinking I'm some kind of spy or some reporter doing some kind of third world workplace expose. They were thinking, this is the very first gringo we've ever had in our lumberyard. The cashier guy told me so. In fact, it was a banner day for everyone working there. There was a gringo in the house. In fact, they all wanted to give me mug shots. And I've got to tell you, they've got this giant meter-wide planer. It just rips through boards like a knife through butter. It throws up wood dust and chips everywhere. And the guys working that machine are just covered with it. Like a flocked Christmas tree. And yes, some of them are wearing glasses, but the only other protection they have is an overhead clothesline with a couple of gunny sacks hanging down so that the chips hit the burlap sack and fall to the floor before clogging the operator's eyes, ears, nose, and throat. At least, that's the premise. But seriously, that's all there is. Nope, no ceiling fans, extractors, or industrial vacuums with HEPA filters. We're talking about 30 or even 40 years lag time here. And the workers, they don't seem to mind. They're joking and smiling and as happy as can be, just like almost everyone you see working down here in Latin America. As one lumber worker told me, he feels lucky to have a full-time job, and one that's inside to boot. By the way, this guy was missing 2 fingertips on his left hand. And when I asked him if he'd been compensated for that, he said, yeah, he got a week off with pay. So needless to say, there won't be a sign proudly proclaiming there have been 465 continuous work days without an injury. Not a chance. So yes, they do have injuries. The guy told me so. And basically, here's why. Most of the saws have no blade guards on them at all. They just got in the way, the guy said, and they took them off. So anyway, I walk into the shop. And suddenly, 3 workers rush up to me. They want to help me. Yep, the gringo advantage rides again. And I said to the guy, do you have any 1-inch by 2-inch clear pine about 6 to 8 foot long? And he said, yeah, how much you want? I said, give me about 40 feet in all. But you know, I was looking around and I didn't see any clear anything around there. It was all rough, what you might call a rustic surface, you know. So anyway, the guy went to a rack and pulled out some stock. Kind of crude, pretty rough stuff. However, then he took me through a maze of wood and we ended up in a little shop with some massive planing and sanding machines. So the guy just took some raw stock and cut it down to my exact measurements right there and ran it through a sander. And when he was finished with it, it was nice, fine, clear pine that weighed about 3 times as much as clear pine up in the States. Oh, and by the way, we're talking about real 1-inch by 2-inch measurements now, not like in the States where it's 3/4 by 1 3/4. That's what they call a 1x2 up there. Turns out in the States, after they kill dry it, it loses about 1/4 inch at least on each side. Not down here. If anything, you gain 1/8 or 1/4. And that's why down here you'll actually get real 2x4s, 2-inch by 4-inch, not 1 3/4 by 3.5 like up in the States. Not to mention they're almost like pieces of balsa wood up there. Anyway, what do you think it cost me for 40 feet of 1-inch by 2-inch clear pine? I ended up with 5 8-foot boards. In the States, that would run me about 50 cents a foot, meaning 40 foot, 20 bucks. But down here, $4 for all that. And they even threw in a couple more feet. So I'm getting a better, more solid product here than I would in the States at 20% of the price. Oh, and by the way, if you're coming down to my Latin Insider seminar this January, if we've got extra time and some people are interested, we can pop in and you'll see for yourself. Oh, and by the way, one of those 5 or 6 barns contained all that beautiful rainforest hardwood I'm always talking about. You know, the usual suspects, caoba, mahogany, palo blanco, cypress, which they call cypress. And of course, that stuff's all vermin-proof. But it'll cost you a lot more than pine. And let this sink in, no more than the cost of clear pine up in the States. Now, as far as all the joining material, the screws, the nuts, the bolts, the toggles, fasteners, whatever you need, believe me when I say that 95% of the stuff you can get at Home Depot up in the States or at your local hardware store, you can get down here too. Oh yes, and I always recommend, if you're working on a project, if it's ever going to be exposed to the outside elements, even in the shade, not in the rain, you should use stainless steel fasteners. Nope, not plastic or galvanized or zinc-coated, aluminum or whatever. Which is, by the way, what almost every contractor uses down here, zinc-coated or galvanized. It's true, they work for a while, but after 3 or 4 years in the sun and heat and rain, whatever, they do start deteriorating and oxidizing and eventually just look like crap and soon enough need replacing. I mean, let's face it, everything does look good when it's new. So anyway, bottom line, do spend the extra money on hardware and get the stainless steel stuff, the screws, the bolts, whatever. Almost all big hardware stores have them. And I couldn't say that just 4 or 5 years ago. Back then, even people working in hardware stores never heard of them. But now, thanks again to so many gringos coming down and demanding that kind of stuff, no problem, no special orders from the States. Oh, and by the way, if you're a handyman or handy person, if you're thinking about bringing down some of your favorite power tools, and by the way, guys and their tools have a very special relationship, ladies, even though you force us to store them in the basement or the garage. However, if we had our druthers, we'd actually prefer them hanging on a pegboard in the bedroom next to your shoes. But then, alas, we'd have to sleep with one eye open, lest a 2x4 whack us upside the head. You want equal pay, we want equal closet space. But that'll never happen, right? I certainly digress, don't I? Where was I? Oh yeah, power tools. They've got all the brands and makes and models down here too, albeit a little more expensive than up in the States, but they've got them all. My suggestion, sell the radial arm and the table saw, you know, the big stuff, and just buy them down here. But if you got some small valuable tool like a Hilti or a heavy-duty Milwaukee hammer drill, by all means bring that stuff down. Expensive power tools always come in their own carrying case and you can bring it in the plane as a carry-on. Or can you? I don't know. TSA might say it's a lethal weapon. But in the right hands, so is a bobby pin, right? Wait a minute, so is your hand if you're a martial artist, right? God, I'm so glad I'm in Latin America. Oh, and one more thing about the lumberyard. You must know that the wood you buy and use has to be nice and dry. And in the States, they kill dry it, claiming usually 6 to 8% moisture. Well, you're not ever going to get that kind of guarantee down here in Latin America. Nobody's got a kill and no one dries it that way. Because, well, the sun is so intense. Even in the rainy season, when you get a break and there's sun, it's very intense. In fact, the lumber yards will often set out wood for a few hours in the sun and you'll actually see steam rising from it. So that's one thing you have to watch out for. You should never buy lumber down here and use it right away. Never. That is unless you're buying some specific rainforest hardwood. Then just ask the guys at the lumber yard how long it's been sitting because that stuff does not turn over very fast. Often they'll have the same wood stored for a year or so. However, I always recommend if you're using wood for any kind of project, especially if you're trimming out your house or doing a wooden floor, as soon as you get it, you should start to dry it out. Then take small strips of scrap pine, lay them across the floor, and stack that wood and let the air circulate between every piece. If you have a lot of boards, you can stack them in layers, with a lot of space in between them so that the air can circulate around all the fresh cut wood. Since the boards are all laying flat and on top of each other, that'll stop a lot of the warping too. And if after a while you have some warped ones, just throw a few cement blocks on them for a week or two and you'll straighten them out. And though you might not like what I'm going to say now, I suggest you let your wood dry out for an entire month. Note, even if you buy wood in the dry season and they seem really dry, you should still dry them yourself for a month. However, if you're just going to use wood for scaffolding or as wooden forms for pouring concrete on a job site, it doesn't matter. And I say this because I've seen many a gringo build nice, artsy, craftsy wood projects, but they jump the gun and use the wood right after they bought it at the lumberyard. Sure, at first the project looks great, but some months down the road, I've seen some really nice projects have some shrinkage and then the gaps start showing. Okay, that said, let's take a rather tough love email here. This one's from a very long-time listener who's sent in quite a few emails over the years. He lives in the UK and has often been talking about moving down to Latin America until now. Here's what he says, and I'll paraphrase this a bit. He says, "Don Johnny, all those illegals in the US, some 30 million of them, sending remises out of the country, are parasites. Number one, They take jobs that would be entry-level jobs from young Americans who are suffering so much unemployment. Number two, these remittances are draining wealth from the economy that would otherwise be capital inside the U.S. spent and circulated daily. Yes, they should be expelled, but in practice, they won't be, at least from the U.S. as a whole. But maybe if the U.S. collapses and breaks up, they will be expelled from one or more of the resulting regional political arrangements. That said, I've decided not to relocate to Latin America. The main reason is that it's a dead end for a gringo. What future can one look forward to for one's descendants? You have so often described what utter morons these people are, so one can expect that one's descendants, a few generations out, would just disappear into the hopeless, backward, third-world cesspool. Cheers, Robert. Well, it's true, Robert. The moron quotient down here in Latin America is exceedingly high, almost approaching that of the U.S. Congress. But you forget one thing. You haven't been down here yourself. You haven't had boots on the ground. And I can tell you, one of the real contrasts you're going to see when you first get down, especially if you stop in any medium to large-sized city, you'll be shocked to see sections of those towns that look absolutely first world in every way, except the people are a bit shorter, darker, and all the signage is in Spanish. So then, who do you think built that infrastructure and all the amenities? Yep, it was us enterprising first world gringos. And you know, it's not the poor, sweaty mass, white trash trailer court gringos coming down here. I mean, it's mostly the somewhat upscale, inquisitive, slightly eccentric, always above average first world gringo who makes it down here. Yes, they have a broad world view. They see what's happening up in the first world and they know it's collapsing around them, whether they believe it's going to happen tomorrow or it's going to take some time. They know their world up north is going to collapse and they're working on their plan B. The smart people are coming down here while they still can. And when they arrive the first time, they see they're not surrounded by a bunch of retrograde indigenous people living in trees, drinking ayahuasca, and throwing coconuts at each other. They also realize they can live a completely first world life, paying little or no taxes, with a very low cost of living. No big brother state monitoring them either. And they're not pigeonholed or cornered by all kinds of crazy-ass legislation. That's why nearly 100% of the long-term gringos and expats that I know say it's the best move they ever made. And it's true, every Latin city, large and small, has its cesspools. But doesn't every first world city too? There are many more than a handful of neighborhoods in Chicago. If you walked in, I wouldn't bet a quarter, you'd come out alive. So cities down here do have neighborhoods like that too. But they also have their own gleaming, shining examples of the best things that come from the first world with infinitely better weather. And I'm not just talking about a couple of isolated spots that are maybe a 2 or 3 block radius. Then suddenly you walk across the street and you're in a Latin cesspool district again. Nope, there are hundreds if not thousands of completely first world districts and business areas. Then there's all those tens of thousands of upscale, guarded, gated neighborhoods. That's where most upper middle class and wealthy Latins prefer to live and most gringo expats too. And as far as the next generation of those gringos and expats and generations thereafter, there's no way I can say they're being dumbed down. In fact, they actually do get the best of both cultures. Why not? It was their first world parents who were smart enough, adventurous enough, and creative enough to come on down and make a good life for themselves. And that's the example their kids are seeing. And of course, by the time a kid's a teenager, he's chosen whether to hang around with the smart, creative kids or the morons, if you know what I mean. I was a kid once too. So if your kid decides to toss his hat in with the morons, all is not lost. If he's got the gift of gab, he could easily run for Congress or even president. So then what about expat kids and the next generation of expat kids? Well, you know, they're going to be the movers and shakers and the future of Latin society here. They're the ones who are going to have the broad, vast experience of their gringo parents, as well as being completely bilingual from the get-go, not to mention, even when, unfortunately, a gringo's genetics might produce a spectacularly mediocre or even moronic child. Would he be better off as a floundering doofus up in the States? Or down here, where no matter how much a pinhead he is, he's still got the gringo advantage? In fact, a German expat friend of mine has a couple of kids, one of them with the brains of Fabio and the talent of Elmer Fudd. And he still managed to elevate himself far beyond his abilities due to the gringo advantage. So, how'd that happen? Now, he's just a dull, average-looking gringo, but never mind, he still married the daughter of a very wealthy Latin avocado exporter. Yep, the gringo advantage rides again. As my old grandma used to say, rule number one for the dull knife in the drawer, smile, nod, and don't talk much. And soon enough, you'll be known not as a moron, but a good listener. So basically, Robert, what you have is all the sweaty masses down here in Latin America dying to escape to the U.S. People with no skills, no education, no resources, and very little knowledge of the world. Not to mention a huge proportion with gang tats and criminal records. Yes, up in the States, the pickings are very good for people like that. You could be 10 times the criminal and score 10 times the loot up there. Whereas down here in the homeland barrio in, let's say, Salvador, there are no first world geese laying golden eggs to steal. So with those crap neighborhoods all picked over, where do they want to go to practice their criminal skills? Los Angeles, Houston, Chicago, New York, and Miami, of course. So basically, it's impossible to convince the sweaty masses down here that there is no American dream, because to them, there still is. In fact, one Latin guy I spoke to in a hardware store, I could see that neck tattoo just peeking out of his shirt. He said to me in Spanish, of course, that word is spreading like wildfire that there's a city up in the United States called Seattle where they've passed a minimum wage law of $15 an hour. Now, this guy said he makes about 15 bucks a day at his hardware store job. He wanted verification from me, a real-life gringo, that the rumor was true. And when I said, yeah, I think so, his eyes lit up and, man, you could see the wheels were turning. That'll be one more guy with no skills packing for a very long journey. So with that kind of news spreading like wildfire, you just can't fight the tsunami of morons making their way up to the States. I mean, come on, if you can't even convince your own college-educated family members up in Cleveland that the house of cards is about to fall apart, then why waste your breath? Just save yourself and work on your own plan B. But please don't tell me, a guy who's been down here 26 years now, that you know what it's like or are going to be like in Latin America when you've had no boots on the ground here. Which is why you just must come down to my January 2016 Latin Insider Seminar. Just go to www.thenewexpat.com, click on Johnny's 2016 Latin Seminar link, and you'll see what I'm talking about. Get your boots on the ground, get your plan B going, and get connected with your new network of expat friends. You'll only be able to do that by getting your boots on the ground, so come on down.
South of the border.
You've been listening to the Expat Files, living in Latin America, coming to you twice a week from somewhere south of the border. Email me, theexpatfiles@gmail.com. And if you want me to help you sort out your own Latin American plans, schedule a one-on-one consult with me. Just send an email and let me know at theexpatfiles@gmail.com. Nos vemos.